Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. So glad to be back with you. As I've said recently, I've just been thinking of you and praying for all of you, ask that you continue to be blessed. Today we look at the prophet Malachi, chapter 3, verses 13 to 20. You have defied me in word, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we spoken against you? You have said it is vain to serve God. And what do we profit by keeping his command and going about in penitential dress in law of the Lord of hosts? Rather, must we call the proud blessed? For indeed, evildoers prosper and even tempt God with impunity. I just stop there to say how many times in our current century, in our current time, how many times do we do that? How many times do we turn away from God and say, oh, well, this is just this person's decision or that person's decision? And we mock and ridicule. Have we stopped and said, what does God want? What does God want here? And then look for the leaders who will ask that question too. Then they who fear the Lord spoke with one another, and the Lord listened attentively. And a record book was written before him of those who fear the Lord and trust in his name. And they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, my own special possession on the day I take action. And I will have compassion on them, as a man has compassion on his son who serves him. Then you will again see the distinction between the just and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. For lo, the day is coming, blazing like an oven, when all the proud and all the evildoers will be stubble. And the day that is coming will set them on fire, leaving them neither root nor branch, says the Lord of hosts. But for you who fear my name, there will arise the Sun of Justice with its healing rays. Brothers and sisters, much as I said yesterday, I want to say again that each of us has a daily prayer time. It's very important. You can use it to read over the readings of the day. You can use it to read a good spiritual book, and I do mean a good spiritual book that you found or seen or been recommended to you. But most of it is the time that we say to the Lord, Lord, I am your disciple. I can't see you, but you are very real. You're my disciple. You communicate with me, Lord, through your Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, God wants to draw us so much closer to him, and he wants to give us such direction for our country and for the church and the difficulties in which we find ourselves right now. He is the one we go to first. He is the one we ask for help. He is the one who can give us the kind of help that we really need. Give God time every day, and for your own personal life as well. I have this difficulty with my wife or my children or whatever the case may be, as I've mentioned to you many times before. I just encourage you, bring everything to the Lord. Don't say, oh, the Lord doesn't care about this. The Lord doesn't care about this. The Lord has numbered the hairs of your head. He knows what even you don't know. How can you identify the number of hairs you have on your head today? That'd be a pretty difficult process. It would take other people doing it for us. He knows. He knows every breath you draw. He knows every hope you have. He knows every pain you're going through, any suffering you're going through. He knows it. He doesn't ignore you. He's waiting for you to just confidently come before him and ask him for help. Ask him. Ask him daily for help. Don't try everything else first and then come to the Lord. Come to the Lord first. Listen to good doctors. Absolutely listen to them. That's part of what God works through. And you want to take advantage of good doctors. But don't just say, oh, well, God doesn't care. He numbers the hairs on your head. Think of that. You're not just somebody that's not important. He knows you. It tells us here, a record book was written before him of those who fear the Lord and trust in his name, and they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, my own special possession on the day that I take action. And I will have compassion on them as a man has compassion on his son who serves him. Then you will again see the distinction between the just and the wicked. Right? I'm reading this again because I want you to hear, brothers and sisters. I really want you to hear between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. For lo, the day is coming like an oven when all the proud and all evildoers will be stubble. And the day that is coming will set them on fire, leaving them neither root nor branch, says the Lord of hosts. But for you who fear my name, that's to revere, to honor my name, there will arise the Son of Justice with its healing rays. Trust him. Trust him. Blessed are they who hope in the Lord. Blessed the man who follows not the counsel of the wicked, nor walks in the way of sinners, nor sits in the company of the innocent, but delights in the law of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, the wicked are not like that. Whatever a good man does prospers, but not so the wicked. There might be trials, there might be difficulties in the process, but that doesn't mean that he's not going to come through. The Lord watches over the way of the just, over the wicked, but the way of the wicked vanishes. He discards. Brothers and sisters, people may seem to be prospering in your eyes, but pay attention to the long pace. Brothers and sisters, we can turn to the Lord at any time in our lives, wherever we are. Even if we feel like the Lord is the last resort, turn to him. He understands. He knows. Turn to him. Ask his forgiveness and ask him to help you. He is a good and a loving God. When we look now at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 5 to 13. Jesus said to his disciples, suppose one of you has a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey. I have nothing to offer him. And he says in reply from within, do not bother me. My door has already been locked. My children and I are in bed. I cannot get up to give you anything. I tell you, if he does not get up to give him the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence. And so that's why Jesus says, when we bring a need to the Lord, well, I took that to the Lord and I didn't get any answer. Look what it says here. And I tell you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks, that's to seek the truth, to seek the will of God, finds. The one who knocks, the door will be open. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asked for a fish? Would you give your son a snake? No, you wouldn't. Man or woman, this beautiful child of yours, would you give him a snake? No. Which one among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish, or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, meaning we're sinners, we've fallen short of the glory of God. We're not the best that we could be, but we can get better and better and better. And God will see that and bless that abundantly. If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Spirit who guides, who inspires, who directs in many, many ways where we are. Bring your needs to him. Bring him your human earthly needs. If there are genuine needs, God will hear you. Ask for help or ask for wisdom. God will give it to you. He's there for you. But we get so agitated. In fact, in Father Perquin, a Dominican priest, said this about that particular aspect of trusting the Lord. He said the more childlike we want to be according to the teaching of our Master Jesus Christ, the more we shall urge the Holy Spirit to achieve our transformation. He seems to work too slowly for our liking, so we plead with him to come to complete his work before we die. For when we understand what adoption means, the Father being our Father, we see to what likeness to the Son it must lead. And so we shall have a growing devotion to the Holy Spirit, feeling our need for him, for he alone can make us childlike. Veni, Sancte Spiritus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is real. The Holy Spirit is true. The Holy Spirit is good personified. God, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God wishes to help us. The Son of God wants to save us. The Holy Father, the holiest of fathers, wants to receive us into his kingdom. This is your inheritance. This is what is coming. The earth is not all there is. I've said that to you before, but I say it again, because we act as though this world is everything. If I just had this, I'd be fine. If I just had that, I'd be fine. What does God want? It isn't what we want first, though I know I've done it many times myself. But come to the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want in this situation? How do you want to help me? And then pray. Say, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me insight. Give me help here. You can't do that enough. You really, honestly can't do that enough. Just encourage you, brothers and sisters, very much. Because prayer, says Father Perquin, prayer follows an awareness of dependence. A little child relies on his parents for everything, and a child of God feels like this about his Heavenly Father. So his prayer is a need, a life, a way in which the Spirit expresses its sense of poverty and trust. The way to learn to be a contemplative is to learn how to ask, and some of you might be laughing, say, I'm not a contemplative. Well, I'm not either, but we can have great nearness to the Lord if we ask for it. Contemplatives rise out of a desire to know the Lord, to know him better, to draw near to him, to give him time every day. Through such an expression of dependence, we come to recognize God's mercy, his goodness, his beauty, whatever attribute we are most drawn to. For he fulfills all our longings. Then petition is transcendent, for God himself will open our eyes. God himself will open our eyes. Those who are spiritually poor have immense confidence in their Father. They are certain that he will give what they need. It is given, though perhaps not when or how it is expected, for his children have to be at his disposal. Seeing ourselves as poor as we are, we long for his Spirit to come and sanctify us. Did you ask the Holy Spirit to sanctify you? Did you ask the Holy Spirit to draw you closer to the Father? Have you asked the Holy Spirit to enlighten your mind and strengthen your will to do good and avoid evil? Maybe you have a habit of passing on rumors of what you saw somebody say or do, and you've drawn your own conclusions, and you pass your conclusions on to other people. Just stop it, brothers and sisters, and say, Holy Spirit, help me. God bless you all. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.